to God, lover, beloved in love. Amen. Well, Andrew and I are looking at our gospel readings from the Epiphany until Lent, paying careful attention to the actual words of Jesus, those red-lettered words, as they appear in some of our Bibles. We're doing this because at the end of the season after Epiphany, the Sunday just before Lent, we hear the famous story of Jesus' transfiguration where he and his friends climb a mountain and are overshadowed by a cloud. And a voice comes from that cloud saying, "This is my beloved child. Listen to him. Listen to him." What would it be like if we more passionately, more fervently listened to the words of Jesus? This is our wonder for this season. So to our story this morning, let's pay attention to four things about Jesus' words. Let's pay attention to where he says these words, to whom he says these words, what exactly is it that he says, and then wonder why he says them. Okay? So first, where does Jesus say his words? Well, our reading says that Jesus is at Capernaum and it's the Sabbath, so he heads to the synagogue. He goes to church, we might say, in our Christian time. And at church on the Sabbath, let's say on Sunday for us, in the middle of his sermon, Jesus says these words. I mean, it makes sense, right? Jesus speaking his words in worship. This is certainly our hope and the reason we gather together so regularly. We, as children of God, hunger for the words of life that are spoken by Jesus. Our hunger is especially heightened at this time when we are unable to eat the bread and drink the wine of Holy Communion. We are like those wandering in the desert, crying out for food, eating up whatever we can gather, whatever comes our way as we journey on. I wonder if you've been satisfied in our gatherings over this extended COVID tide. I wonder if even in a small way, the time we spend in this way over Zoom, online, physically distant, if even in a small way you have been fed by the words that we have spoken and prayed, the words of Jesus, the words of life. I hope, but I wonder. I wonder if at any time during this COVID tide, you've wanted to cry out in the middle of a sermon, "Hey, what does anything you say have to do with us right now?" I wonder if during the prayers when we direct our petitions to God, if you have, like the man in the synagogue so long ago said, wanted to say, "Hey, God, are you paying attention? You are God, aren't you? Stop this pandemic. Stop this isolation. Stop my feelings of loneliness and fear. Do you even care, God, or are you just here to torment us?" I wonder if you have felt even the smallest tinge of this at any time between last March and now. And if you have felt this way, I wonder if you have been able to express your thoughts, to verbalize them, or I wonder if you have suppressed them. I wonder if they are boiling beneath the surface of your stoic face. Oh, I hope you have been able to express them. We need to find safe, holy places to express the deep anxieties, pain, anger we feel in life. And where else is safer than church? Where else is more holy than this space we've carved out of the internet? Can I ask you to do something? Can we right now take a few moments and say out loud those things we are upset about? Can we, in the next, let's say, minute, open our mouths and articulate the anxieties and frustrations we feel? I mean, there is no safer place than this at present. Are you ready? If you're listening to this through a podcast, I encourage you to pause this for a minute and express how you're feeling to God. I can't hear you. No one can hear you. No one will be able to hear you except maybe the person right next to you or God, who is as near to you as your breath. We at the church, in the middle of my sermon, it is time for us to speak up and let these things that have been oppressing us speak out. Go for it. Say it. I will too. God, I am frustrated that this pandemic is still going on. I'm frustrated that it is taking so long for a vaccine, and even when the vaccine comes, it's taking so long for it to be distributed. I am angry that my children can't see their grandparents or their cousins. I'm exhausted from moving between hope and fear and hope. I'm a little on edge, God. I haven't shaved. Look at me. Help me. I'm here at church. Can you help? Okay. Let me take a deep breath. Be silent. Take a deep breath. Be healed. Take a deep breath. Have courage. Jesus speaks his words in church. But who does Jesus speak his words to? Well, in our story this morning, he speaks directly to the voices in our heart that are causing these tormenting thoughts of fear and hopelessness. Those voices that don't allow our own voices to be heard. Jesus speaks to demons. Jesus is at church speaking to the demons in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this quite beautiful. Jesus is like the doctor who must pay attention to the illness in order to cure it. Jesus is like the scientist who is looking directly into the DNA of the virus in order to understand it and to discover a vaccine. At church, Jesus is looking at the parts of our life that are broken or sick so that he can heal them. Jesus looks and speaks to our demons. That is, those forces that keep us from fulfilling our God-given potential. Those powers that suggest that we are not worth it, that no one cares, that we cannot rise out of our cycles of habit or addiction. Those voices that beat us down, that cut us to our hearts and make us believe the demonic teaching that there is no future, that God has abandoned us, that there is no hope, that love does not actually conquer all. Those voices that silence us. And my friends, those are just the small demons. Jesus even speaks at church to the bigger demons. The big demons are the ones that try to convince us that it's okay for us to come to church and believe in God and sing about Jesus and then go home or to our work or to the marketplace and believe we can still be racist, xenophobic, or participate in life with no regard for our neighbors. Those bigger demons that Jesus speaks to are the powers that try to disguise the impact we have on our day-to-day life, whether it is the impact of our buying and selling at the expense of poorly paid laborers, or the impact of our habits and recreation in God's creation, or the impact of our apathy toward those who are working hard to be free in a world hell-bent on keeping people down. I think of Black, Indigenous, people of color protesting against institutional racism. I think of transgender children of God faced with homelessness, single parents forced to work two or three poor-paying jobs to cover the cost of childcare so that they can work those same jobs. The elderly or immune compromised people forced into isolation. Young adults who cannot find the same work or economic possibility as generations before them. Children right now in abusive homes or those without family to care for them. There are many ways to keep people down as there are people to keep down. And as many demons to ensure that those who are being kept down never get a chance to get back up. And at church, we speak to these larger demons too. We speak to the small demons in our own hearts and minds. We speak to the big demons in the institutions of the world. And we say the same words that Jesus said to that demon so long ago. Jesus says, "Be quiet and get out. Silence and scram. Enough. It's time for your eviction." Jesus' words are words of healing and life to all of us battered by the voices of fear, violence, apathy, and hopelessness. Jesus' words in this place are for you and for the world. They are for you so that you can feel a little more sane in the midst of the insanity of COVID time. They are for the world so that we can all see a way out of the muck we find ourselves. A little more about this word silence that Jesus speaks. Silence in the Greek has the underlying metaphor of a muzzle. That is, Jesus is muzzling those vicious voices in our hearts and in this world so that they do not take up any more space. This is so important because so often the voices of fear and so forth are given too much airtime. They're given too big a platform to speak from, and the voices of our heart, our voices, are silenced. The voices of fear speak so loudly that we cannot give voice to our own anxiety. The voices of indifference speak so loudly that we cannot give voice to our own sense of helplessness. And because we cannot hear our own voices due to the volume of the other voices, we begin to think that the loud voices and our voices are one and the same. Oh, a great demonic trick to get us to think that the fear and indifference we hear is actually our own voice, but they are not our voice. This is why Jesus says the words he says. He muzzles demons so that we can begin to hear the true voice of our heart and the true voice of our Creator calling us out of fear into love, out of despair into hope, out of mourning into joy. Jesus is silent, silence to the demons, so that we can speak up. And I wonder, what would you say once your demons are silenced? I wonder what your voice sounds like. Will it be like a song of praise to God our Creator? Is it the voice of creation care? Will it be like a hymn of joy to God our judge and friend? Is it the voice of justice and righteousness in the face of injustice? Will it be like a poem of hospitality for those who are alone? When your demons are silenced, when you are given the space to speak, I wonder what you will say. With Jesus Christ, your friend and your helper.